The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
Hi, this is Hank Hill. When I am not selling propane and propane accessories, I listen to Behind the Open Door on ParamaniaRadio.com, hosted by Maggie Renee and Vicky Johns.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com, and you got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Do you want talk radio that is hip, exciting, and has amazing guests?
And it's all about the paranormal. Join Sheena Meadow each week on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. You'll want to come play with us at the Haunted Playground.
Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
Chat with Mama D. I am Mama D, and I have to be here because without me, there's no chatting. Actually, people would chat, but you know, it wouldn't be the same. First off, I want to thank my guest this evening for agreeing to come on, because I just sort of emailed him and I went, "Hi, I am with you," and he said yes. My guest this evening is George Anderson. Amongst many things, the one thing that sort of intrigued me the most was he stated that he is the most scientifically tested medium of this century. So, George, say hi to all my guests, all my people in the chat room.
Hi to all your guests.
You are my guest. Now, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, then I'll start grilling you.
Okay, well, basically, in regards to what I do, the ability I have is the ability only as a receiver. It's not, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but it's really not a two-way conversation with myself and souls that have passed on. I've been referred to as a psychic / medium. I'm okay with that, but I'm, you know, always a little fucked about, you know, labels. If they don't, you know, if people especially get the wrong impression, but I use the ability, found my niche in the ability, the best thing is it seems to help people hear, to reconnect with their loved ones who have passed on. And I've noticed over the years, as much as it's very, at times, necessary for people here, it's even more profoundly necessary for souls over there to tie up loose ends, redeem themselves over there by asking for forgiveness here from a particular individual. Each session is unique and unto itself. I mean, I do get what I call normal sessions where the subject here grew up in what I'd call a, using the old movie, I'd say grew up in a Meet Me in St. Louis home.
Okay.
And that can be, you know, the average person watching could say, oh, anybody could say that, oh, that's vague. But even I'll think that. But I have to keep telling myself, I'm not the subject of the session. I'm just the instrument. So I remember a soul over there got a little testy with me because I kept in my mind this young lady had lost her dad, and she came from a Meet Me in St. Louis home. And I will be honest with you, most of the sessions are horror stories. So when you get one that is really beautiful, where they're very happy to come forward to rekindle love and joyfulness in a family, it's something I'm not used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as her dad was impressing me with things to say to her, I kept saying, oh, anybody could say, and, you know, I'm saying this in my mind. I'm saying, oh, anybody could say this. Oh, this sounds very run-of-the-mill. And he actually got a little testy with me, whereas he said, you know, not everybody came from a dysfunctional home. And rekindling and reconnecting to bring back happiness and joyful memories and family and growing up with, you know, my daughter, whom you're here with right now, you know, not to be so cynical, maybe, about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to watch myself at times because I do have a tremendous amount of skepticism with my own ability. But then I have to question myself, am I being that way because I feel it's not working the way I think it should.
Okay.
And it works the way it works. So I'm resigned myself to try to understand that at all times. Because skepticism about anything is a healthy attitude. It's just that many people who come forward publicly, who claim to be skeptics, in my opinion, they're actually cynics. You know, to me, a skeptic may say, I don't know, or questions, but a cynic throws out the baby with the bathwater. And
okay.
I think in this day and age, especially with, you know, the human mind, there's so many things we still have yet to learn that we still don't know. And until, as the souls in the hereafter will say, until we learn it for ourselves, we're just not going to know.
Exactly. That makes sense. Everybody can tell you, you know, whatever, but, you know, and you can believe a certain amount of, but you still, like, you still question, you still ask, you know, and not really doubt, but doubt. And until you get it for yourself, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so that's what, you know. So, yeah, I understand that.
Even in regard.
I'll just make a quick little notification. In the chat room, I have a lot of guests, and I'm really glad you all showed up. But there's a way to put your name in. So do a slash Nick space and type in your name, And this way I can actually call your name if you have a question. Go for it. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, George.
No, I was just going to say, even the actual transition we call death, the souls in the hereafter will say, which to me makes sense, that most people, when they really think about it, are probably not afraid of the actual transition. The souls in the hereafter claim it's very much like walking from one room to the next. What they say people are probably more than likely frightened of is what will be the circumstances that will bring about the physical death. And then on the other hand, they claim the reunion over there, when you do make the transition with those loved ones, friends, whatever, pets that have gone on before you, they said they can't even attempt to describe it to us, that we won't really get the impact of it because it's something we have to wait until we experience, until we learn it for ourselves. And, you know, that to me makes ideal sense. It just seems over there they're very well organized. You know, it's the ultimate level of only the highest and the best qualities or virtues that we as humans are able to recognize. Compassion, love, understanding, tolerance, tenderness. That to me is all what makes up what some people call God. I refer to as the divine presence. And I've never heard them talk about a so-called being over there. But some people can, when they initially cross over, maybe interpret all the highest and the best as a being, you know, those type of, you know, I guess trying to put it into comprehensive terms for us. But, you know, I had I wouldn't say a hostile disagreement, but a little bit of an argumentative situation with a Roman Catholic priest one time, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm picking on Catholics. I was baptized and brought up one. But he had, when I had a TV show years ago, he had saw a session I did for a young man and his dad in the audience. And older man, he was a widower. And it's very difficult, I've been told, from over there to be a widower. And I've learned that from the widows. So I don't want to make it sound like it's the good old boys club. But they had just put their dog to sleep. And that came up in the session, that the dog was happily with the wife / mother in the hereafter. And the priest was, oh, beware, beware, these are, you know, evil spirits and so forth, you know. But I said to him, but wait a minute, Father, I don't understand. Why did Saint, who I took my confirmation name for a good reason, I said, why did Saint Francis preach to the birds? And I get dead silence. I said, oh, typical, you know, Catholic response. I call it the grand silence. And also, St. Martin de Porres, who was also, whilst he was on the earth, another incredible, compassionate individual toward animals as well as people, one of his miracles was bringing a dead dog back from the dead because the man was so upset over the animal's passing. I said, what about that? Was he just a psycho? And of course, the grand silence. I mean, I said to him, the same essence that has breathed life into us has also breathed life into them. I know the church doesn't believe, or Christianity doesn't believe, you know, that animals have souls, but why would they need them? What have they done? It's humanity that is unkind, not animals. Animals don't murder and rape their own kind. Animals kill to survive or through instinct. But other than that, they just go about their business.
Very true, very true.
They were here first.
Yes, they were. They don't need to. I happen to agree. I believe animals are a whole lot easier to get along with sometimes than most humans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because even if you hear purring in the background, my little boy's next to me here, my little shelter cat, that
I saw a picture of those two on I think it was on your Twitter account. You have two gingers.
Page, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two, yeah. One female, one male, but he has a very relaxing but loud purr. He's laying here, so I hear he's purring away, which I'm so happy to see, because I think in the shelter he might have had some bad experiences, and it's so wonderful to see him turn into a complete mush now.
That's cool.
He's just too adorable.
Well, we've had a couple of questions in the chat room. Both, of course, they're from my adorable Max. He asks, one, when a medium goes to a place that has a lot of activity, does it chip away at the soul of the medium?
I would have to say more no as opposed to yes. First of all, the ability doesn't work for me personally. I don't think I really hear from any of my loved ones or friends that have passed on. I know sometimes every now and then I stop in my tracks in my house because I think one of my cats is in the way and realize what I saw suddenly disappears. But usually I look upon it as you would with any type of job or career. When you have to do it, you know, you're ready to do it. But if I'm out in public and say one of my friends is with me and I, you know, may feel one of their loved ones around, you know, I can tell them. But it's not something where I walk up, be swamped by souls from over there and walk up to complete strangers, you know, eating their salami sandwich and say, oh, guess what? You know, because again, I think it's also, you know, what people think of me, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But I think when it comes to the ability, it must be handled with reverence and respect, as you would if you were to go to someone's wake or funeral. Because I remember one time the publisher had wanted me to do a book signing that would probably involve demonstrating the ability, but in Costco, and I said to them, I can't do it there. That's not an appropriate setting or atmosphere for the ability. It would be going to somebody's wake and, you know, opening up a pepperoni pizza and start eating it. You know, it just would be not the place. Of bad taste.
It makes sense.
You know, that's the only thing. There is a certain reverence that goes with it, and you know, that I'm inclined to be very selective and protective of.
That makes sense. Everybody has their ways of when and how and why they do things in regards to many other things, not just, you know, the connecting with spirits. So, yes, it makes sense. It's your choices, and if people don't like it, well, poo. And that's putting it nicely.
Exactly. You know, then, you know, nobody's holding a gun to your head.
No, exactly. And you're not out there, you're not a dog and pony show, you know. And
yeah,
many people,
and it's not so much me, it's more the ability is really the center of attention. As I said, I'm just the instrument, but mm-hmm. The ability must, I feel, always be in a very respectful, reverent atmosphere. Just think how somebody would feel, as I said, if you showed up at their loved one's wake and you just, you know, whipped out a pizza and started eating it. You know, it would... I'd be
horrified. if it was at my wake, they'd probably be doing it. They'd probably start a campfire in the middle of the... I know what you mean.
Again, there's a time and a place for mm-hmm. everything.
Everything, yeah, exactly.
I'm shocked sometimes when I go to a wake the way people dress to go to a wake. I mean, in the summer, you're showing up in shorts and flip-flops. I mean, what? Well, I just was brought up differently, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's it, because I happen to agree that there is a way to approach things, and there's a time and a place for everything, and there's, you know, you should be dressed certain ways for certain things. And for me, my, you know, those magic words are please and thank you, and if people don't use them, you know, I think that was like the third and fourth word that in my family that we learned after mommy and daddy or mama and papa. It was like please and thank you, you know. So it's just
very,
you know,
good.
and my kids, they're grown up, and they still use the same thing. Yep. Well,
yep, that's the way it should be. You know, that unfortunately, I think, you know, many people have lost their good manners nowadays, mm-hmm. or, you know, the generations after me are certainly maybe not as polite as I would be. But hopefully all traditions won't die out.
Nah, they'll come back around. Everything comes back around. Look at the clothing. Look at the clothing that we wear now. Look at the kids, not us.
Yeah, exactly.
In the chat room, Max has asked another question. He is a very special friend of this show and the station, by the way. When I had a near-death experience, I did not see any figures, just a soft white light behind me that covered everything behind me. Is this the divine being or the divine place, or is it just a manifestation of my own thoughts of how it should be? Good question, Max.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a dynamite question. I think in a case such as that, I'd have to look upon it as a multiple choice answer. It mm-hmm. very well could be of, you know, your own mind at that moment conceiving what you feel it should be. But on the other hand, it certainly, I can't rule out that it couldn't be the feeling of the divine presence being very near to you. As he, she, it always is.
Mm-hmm.
And
it would be she in my book.
See, I'm more. I'm sorry.
I said it would be she, her presence in my books.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to look. I mean, I'm sure the divine presence, as I refer to it, is more than likely unisex. But I'm more attracted to and more inclined to think that the divine presence is more in the feminine, as opposed to the mm-hmm. masculine, because,
I think it's each person's comfort zone, because quite a few years ago, I posted an angel card reading, and I used the word she in the reading, referring to the angel, and somebody had said, "Oh, blasphemy! You're a devil worshipper," and I was like,
oh,
excuse me, did you call the angel she? All angels are males. And I kind of went, well, Angels actually have no sex.
Yes.
You know, they're just a being. They're not males or females. It's just whatever's comfortable at that moment, whatever felt right at that moment. You know, he kind of sort of went off, and I went, well, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion. And that was, you know, the end of that. And, you know, because I was raised a Catholic, and all angels were all boys, and, you know, but in the pictures and the, you know, all the drawings and everything else. And so it seems I'm having a little bit of interference with my Skype. I don't know why this happens on my show all the time, but so long as it's not too bad, I'll be told eventually. So yeah, I think everybody gets to choose what's comfortable for them. Now, whether they call the divine, God, Allah, Buddha, he, she, it, you know, whatever the case may be, it's a people's comfort. So,
I mean, I have many in my own home. I have many, so I do like traditional Catholic church arts. I have many different, you know, statues of the Blessed Mother, but I look upon them as reflections or images of God, the female,
mm-hmm.
or Divine Presence, the female.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people flip out if you talk about praying to the Divine Mother or the Divine Presence female or such. But, you know, again, I tell people I'm not a fundamentalist, so I'm not going to be doing anything along the line of being a fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Because many times when I do Facebook Lives, people write, you know, do you believe in Jesus and the Bible? Well, I'm not a fundamentalist.
Yeah,
you know, and I have no intentions of becoming one. And, you know, I grew up, as I said, in a very Orthodox Roman Catholic household. My father, I didn't find out my father wasn't Catholic until he had his first heart attack, and I had gone to visit him in the hospital, and the Episcopal priest was there, and because he always attended Mass with us on Sunday. And I said, why is, you know, not that I cared, but I said, why is the Episcopal priest here? And he said, because he put down as his religion that he's Episcopalian. And I said, oh, but, you know, his parents were born and came, immigrated here from England, so they belong to the Church of England. And I just assumed, because he attended Mass with us every Sunday and Holy Day, that he was Catholic, and well,
yeah.
He wasn't. But yeah, it was actually when he was ill as a young man in the hospital in New York City, St. Vincent's, which at that time there were many of the Sisters of Charity of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's order, and he was quite impressed with their care and dedication. And so that made a difference, I think, in his reflection, because he did tell me, she changed, of course, later on, but he did tell me his mother, oh, she wasn't too fond of Catholics and she wasn't too fond of the Irish. But, okay. You know, actually changed later on.
Yeah. I think everybody has, you know, my mother was the Catholic in the family, and we all got, you know, my brother and I and my sister, we all had our sacraments, and my dad, like you, he came to church with us, and, you know, but my dad was what was known then as Protestant. Now I know there's a difference now that there's the United and there's the Presbyterian and there's the I've learned my way of thinking now is, you know, I don't have to go to a building to speak to my higher power, you know, to my angels and whatnot. Okay, we're at the bottom of the top of the first hour. What whatever the case may be. We're going to go to a little break. Everybody hang tight. Dr. Dave is going to play a lovely song. I'm sure he always has great taste. And then he's going to do a few advertisements of some great shows that come onto this very awesome channel. I'm really in a good mood today. So everybody hang tight. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on my strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Ghost stories? Want to hear about some of the haunted homes and locations that I've investigated? Tune in for the latest in paranormal news and guest interviews with me, Mr. Haunted, on the Haunted Chronicles, Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
Uh-huh. This is KLF. Please join me on my new time at Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern for the Indigo Weekly Top 40. It's the same show, but in a newer format with wider variety eras of music. We still stay in tune with the astrological alignment and keep you aware of all things autism and indigo children.
Welcome to the all-new Paramania Radio.
Don't go by the book. Think like a pirate.
I got the eye of the tiger. Dancing through the fire. I am the champion. And you're gonna hear me.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for hanging in there. We are back with the Fireside Chat with Mama D, and I am your hostess, Mama D, also known as Darlene. My guest tonight is George Anderson. People have been asking in the chat room if George is going to be doing any readings tonight. Well, George had a pretty busy day today, so we're going to say no for the readings tonight, but he has promised to come back in either June or July. He'll check his schedule, and it'll be a reading show. Tonight, we're just going to get to know George, because I like to get to know my guests, and I like to have them feel comfortable. So we're going to say a little shout-out to everybody in the chat room, and I hope you stick around, even though we're not doing readings. There's me, Mama D, and Dr. Dave, who has no choice but to be here because he produces the show. Nobody else wanted to. Brock. There's my adorable Max and Nell and Indy Dwayne, my lovely banana boy. Kelly Jean, I'm not sure. We have one guest, and we have Sally. Thank you for hanging around, Sally. Brian C. is awake, and the ever-adorable Brock. So, George, thanks for sticking in, and again, thank you again for agreeing to be on my show and for saying that you'll come back and do a reading show. Sure. Now, there's a couple of things I wanted to get on. Yes, you are my gift, Indy. There's a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. You have at least 7 books that I know of. I could be wrong in the amount, but the last count, I think I counted 7. And you have some artwork. So let's first get to the books. One, the latest book you have, goodness gracious, Life Between Heaven and Earth.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the latest. The one, I'm sure the publisher is delighted. The first book, We Don't Die, is over 20 years old.
Wow.
And it's still backlisted. It was published in 1988. And I said in January, and I said to myself, wow, that's pretty good that it's lasted that long, and the publisher told me it's still backlisted, which is nice to hear.
What does backlisted mean?
In other words, they keep reprinting it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very good, yes.
It keeps going into printings where usually after, you know, 20 some odd years, you know, except if you've written Gone with the Wind, most, you know, books kind of just fade out or become collector's items. But the publishing house did send me a copy recently of the book Walking in the Garden of Souls, and I believe that has been translated into Japanese.
Ooh, very nice.
Trying to speak to one of the representatives at the publishing house up ahead about getting some of the books published in Spanish, because I have so many Latin people, you know, asking me why isn't it in Spanish for those who can't read or understand English.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because I had another guest on another show, and he also has books written. And for some reason, Spanish, I don't know whether it's a thing in the States, but Spanish is the last book, the last language that they have, you know, that they seem to want to translate it to. Every other language. So, yes, push for the Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I don't read Spanish, but hola.
Yeah, I know. I'm not like my brother. He speaks it fluently.
Oh, goodness.
You know, to the point where with the accent he was trained in, most people take him for a Cubano. They think he's Cuban.
Okay.
Because, and also in the family, the appearance of the very, you know, the dark hair and the very fair skin. And in regards to the art, I started doing that recently only it's become a great comfort level for me. And it's, I think, probably my little niche in that case is more geometrics than anything else. I mean, I certainly was not crazy about geometry in high school
mm-hmm.
as a subject, but I do remember being fascinated by all the different shapes and symbols and such, and wishing that I would be able to have a brain that could figure those problems out, like some of the other students seem to be able to. And to this day, I wouldn't know my arm from my elbow with it. But so I have put, I have listed, you know, pieces on eBay, and actually have been delighted at the, that's me again, sorry. I've been delighted, you know, that people have responded positively, and, you know, I like bold, bright colors, and, you know, one piece that was up today, actually, I noticed before, has a bid on it, and, you know, it's not, trust me, they're not expensive, you know, I'm not charging, you know, $50,000 a painting, but I just like the freedom of movement with it, too. And every now and then, you know, we'll feel like a higher-up voice saying to me, okay, color this here this way and put this in here or such. So most of the work is geometric. I like upcycling, like swap cards, mm-hmm. Appliques, things that, you know, bring it into its own.
So there's a question then. Your artwork, there's quite a bit of artwork by George Anderson, but I'm thinking maybe not all of it's from you, because there's a lot of George Andersons out there. It's an interesting name. Do you find that sometimes your artwork is also guided by spirit, by the divine, what you come up with?
I would say yes, because many times when I say my evening prayers, mm-hmm. I will ask for continued or enhanced inspiration. And sometimes, not all, but sometimes, again, some of the pieces may have a spiritual or religious theme on a traditional level, but most of it, as I said, is just or majority of it, not all of it, but majority of it is geometric on artboard or on art paper. Mm-hmm. And many of the spiritually inspired ones seem to sell, and of course naturally I sign them as originals and so forth, and send them out to people. But and sometimes very interesting ones that I'll think nobody would possibly be interested in, bingo, next thing you know, a bid's up on it. I'm like, oh, I would think that one would never sell.
Yeah.
And but I think it's also, as I said, like you know, swap card collecting can be very popular. And again, upcycling things, giving them another chance at life. I recently put up a piece that has a vintage postcard in it from the great Buddha of Kamakura in Japan, which I did see and was lucky to go to that shrine when I worked in Japan back in the 1990s. And something about it just, you know, really grabs me. And so somebody over there must have inspired, well, you know, go on eBay and see who's selling vintage or old postcards or even new ones of the okay. great Buddha, which survived the tidal wave, I believe, back in the 1200s as it wiped out the village. Only the great Buddha survived. And, you know, others, you know, the Kuan Yin, Pusa, the god, you know, Chinese goddess of mercy, ones of the Blessed Mother, ones of different saints, you know, but not overboard, you know. I like to keep it varied.
Sally in the chat room says she must be a fan of yours because she says the art is nice. She says, I own a couple. So very nice.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Oh, how sweet. Oh, it's very nice.
You got fans.
They liked it.
But here I'm going to put, I think I found a couple. I'll put the link into the chat room where I found on eBay a quick search while you were talking. So it kind of started to get a little.
Yeah, okay, I think it's just listed under George Anderson Art, I guess. Or if you put my name in with art, you know, the page will come up. And it does give you real freedom of movement. You know, I had a piece sold recently where I put in characters, die-cut characters from Alice in Wonderland, and I just entitled it Alice in Geometric Land.
Okay.
With, you know, all triangles and circles and, you know, hexagons and such all over the place. And, it's fun. It is fun. I can't say that it's not. Certainly helped when I have insomnia.
You have one. I'm not sure if it's yours. Balloon Set Adrift.
Yes, that's mine.
Okay, that's yours. That's interesting to me. I'm kind of, I guess, weird in a way. I don't have a specific type of artwork that I like. You know, mind you, I can't stand that giant red dot, but. But I think that one is very interesting. Balloon Set Adrift. And Sally in the chat room just said, in the past, I've had many readings with George, and he's always 100% accurate. So that gives everybody something to look forward to for when you come back, that your accuracy has been, you have, a fan in the chat room. Thank you for coming, Sally. I hope you stick around and come back to a few more of my shows and continue to follow George.
Yeah, I'm getting used to the fact I'm not getting any younger. I'll turn 65 this August, but will not be applying for Social Security until I turn 66 next year. I was thinking, you know, that would supplement the income, but gotta have to wait one more year. But I will be signing up for Medicaid.
Okay. Sally said she'll stick around, which is cool. 65, here's the thing, George, that I always say when people ask me how old I am. I said my body is going to be 56. My mind, depending on the moment of the day, can be 16. But my soul and my heart are ageless because it doesn't matter, you know. Yes, my body, I'll wake up in mornings where, like, I'll be going, ow, ooh, ow, ooh, you know. And it just sort of... I think that's my body's way of saying, hello, you're still alive, you know. So it your body is one age, and the rest of you is always another age. So 65 is just a number, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I still would consider myself very young at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a great deal of that, you know, reflects in the artwork as well. Some of it, somebody might even think is a little... I wouldn't, a childlike, maybe not childish, some maybe childlike. Yeah, but as I said, you know, the dollar stores around here. I'll buy the, you know, the markers and so forth for coloring in the geometrics, you know, with, you know, the bold, bright colors. And some of them certainly are pretty cool. And but I'm glad it gives me something to do. I would say I'm more of a night person because at night it's quiet. Everybody's in bed. I don't, thank God, after 30 years, I don't have to get up early unless I have to, which is one thing I'm very thankful for. But, you know, it can, if you can't sleep, you know, something will say to me, look, get your rear end out of bed and go do something, even if you just do the basic skeleton and then finish it up later on. But it's just an endless avenue of so much inspiration. And I do feel that I've had, you know, help from not like family members of mine. There seems to be what I call a higher up over there that I'll hear from, and they kind of put things into perspective and I think keep me in line as well, where, you know, if I'm having one of those days where I'm feeling down or, you know, sad with myself, they'll say to me, oh, you know, stop whining like a baby, you know, get up and do a piece of art or something, you know, which is true. And it's one thing, too, that I've learned from the hereafter is I'm very, very sympathetic, as they are over there, and compassionate to individuals who reach their wit's end here and contribute to ending their lives. And I try to avoid using the S word, especially if it's parents who have lost a child through that. I say to them that your child died from an illness, and even the young, you know, the child, whether it be a child or an adult, still, you know, it's still your child. They'll say that the real cause of their passing was being sick at heart, that they were not in the right frame of mind. And I mean, I never knew this person, but the young man that works with me as my administrator / assistant, he heard on, I think it was on Cinco de Mayo, that somebody he had grown up with had, as he didn't mean it disrespectfully, but he said he ate a bullet. And I was like, oh, how heartbreaking, you know, that somebody reaches that end of their rope where they don't know what else to do. They don't know where else to turn. Mm. And one thing, you know, because we were brought up, if, you know, people take their own lives, they get sent to hell. That's complete bull. Yeah. And, you know, again, if you're capable, and I'm sure you would be, and I'm capable of understanding and compassion, I definitely would expect them to be over there, as I said to them, or I quit. So the choice is theirs, you know, but no, it's always handled with, you know, complete compassion and understanding. But they always tell us, too, though, that's not an invitation, you know, to give up.
No, it's like, you still got to, you know, do your best and find the help that's out there for people who need it.
There is.
You know? And
not
there's
be
lots
embarrassed
of it,
by
out
it.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's not giving up, you know. And there's no shame in asking for help. So, you know. And
oh, absolutely.
And I used to think, I have to admit that I used to think many, many years ago that suicide was a selfish act, because the person who committed suicide didn't think about who was left behind. You know, I said, if you have nobody who's left behind to mourn you, then fine, have at it. But then everybody had, I've grown in my knowledge and grown in my I've grown up, you know, and everybody has somebody who's left behind. Nobody is ever alone, no matter how much you think you are, you're never left alone.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always somebody out there, whether it's a stranger on the other end of the phone or the other end of an email or whatever the case may be, there's always somebody out there to help, you know. And do I feel sad for the person who found thought that they had no other choice but to
absolutely. And actually, the other side has impressed me. Men are more frustrated here, and men actually will have a much harder time with their emotions because mm-hmm. it's not considered, you know, macho or manly. You know, they'll be embarrassed by their own feelings and sensitivities. And even the souls in a session, this couple that had come to me, whose son had fallen into the wrong frame of mind and had, you know, contributed to ending his life, he even brought up a very excellent point from over there. He says, look at your commercials on television when they talk about medications that are there to help anxiety and depression. They always show a female
mm-hmm.
as the victim of those two illnesses. And that's because people probably are more inclined to accept that a woman's allowed to have feelings where a man is not.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with them. Yeah, men are definitely more frustrated here.
Yeah, so very many true. I'm gonna cut you short, George, only because we have about a minute left, and I want to make sure that people know who are in the state of Los Angeles. I guess it's a state. I'm not really sure. I'm a Canadian. What can I say? In San Diego on August 18th, you'll be there. You have Los Angeles, August 20th, Fresno, August 24th, and San Francisco, August 28th. Okay, in the state of California. Thank you very much.
and next year, April 13th, 2018, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for the Helping Parents Heal Conference. Perfect. And as I said, georgeanderson.com is the website.
Yep, the link is in the chat room, everybody.
We're gonna
have to go because we're gonna run into Kat's show, and I don't want Kat to be mad at me. Thank you very much, George. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. I love you all, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you kindly, everyone.
Join us every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for a fireside chat with Mama D.